Here's your fair value brief for Wednesday, August 12, 2026. Treasury yields are doing the Fed's job for it. The 10-year yield just hit 4.72%, its highest since late 2023, pushing 30-year mortgage rates to 6.69%, levels we haven't seen since 2007. The kicker? This isn't because the Fed hiked rates. It's because real yields, the inflation-adjusted returns, are climbing fast, tightening financial conditions all on their own. Housing affordability is now in crisis territory, yet stocks are still priced like everything's going to go perfectly. And today's CPI report at 8:30 a.m. Eastern could decide the next move. Economists expect a 0.1% month-over-month rise and 3.4% year-over-year. But the real focus is core CPI, the sticky, underlying inflation. If it comes in hotter than expected, that 10-year yield could shoot even higher, piling more pressure on stocks and mortgages. A cooler number might ease some tension, but let's be honest. Real yields are already doing the heavy lifting, and the damage is spreading. Then there's oil. Brent crude has surged 11% this week to $88.22, all because Iran's blockade of the Strait of Hormuz is now in its third week. The ripple effects are real. Kuwait's had to ramp up LNG imports to levels not seen since the Iran-Iraq war, and shipping costs are skyrocketing. This isn't just about oil prices. It's about how quickly supply shocks can rewrite global trade routes. Now, to the markets. Bonds are the story. The 10-year Treasury yield at 4.72% isn't just a number. It's a warning. The Fed hasn't raised rates since July, but financial conditions are tightening anyway. Two big reasons. First, oil's geopolitical premium. With Brent at $88.22, the market's inflation expectations over the next decade, the so-called break-even rate, have jumped to 2.27%. Second, the term premium is back. The U.S. budget deficit is ballooning to 6.3% of GDP this year, and investors are demanding more yield to hold all that extra debt. The result? The 10-year TIPS yield, the real, inflation-adjusted return, is now 2.45%. That's a 30 basis point spike in just a month and the highest since 2007. And here's where it hurts. Housing first. The 30-year mortgage rate is now 6.69%. A median-priced new home, $430,000, eats up 38% of the median household income. That's worse than in 2007. Housing starts have already dropped 15% from their 2021 peak. Stocks, meanwhile, are betting on perfection. The S&P 500's equity risk premium, the extra return stocks offer over bonds, has shrunk to just 2.8%, the lowest since 2007. Either earnings are about to take off, or bonds are too cheap. Something's got to give. And credit? It's getting pricier. Investment-grade corporate bond spreads are near their lowest of the year, but high-yield spreads are creeping up. The era of easy money is over. So is this just a temporary blip, like the taper tantrum in 2013, or a lasting shift? The Fed's got two bad options: talk the market down by hinting at rate cuts, or wait it out and risk a stock correction. Today's CPI report will help tip the scales. If core CPI comes in above 0.2% month over month, that 10-year yield could blow past 4.8%, sending mortgage rates towards 7% and deepening the housing slowdown. Even if the number's softer, the damage from rising real yields might already be done. Here's what to watch today. CPI is the main event. A hotter-than-expected core reading would validate the bond market's warning, likely pushing yields higher and squeezing stocks and housing even more. If it's cooler, we might get a brief reprieve, but don't expect real yields to reverse course overnight. Stocks are holding on, but barely. The S&P 500 dipped 0.32% Tuesday. The Nasdaq 0.33. Futures are pointing to a slight bounce this morning, but the real action's under the surface. Energy stocks are up. XLE gained 1.25% as oil climbs, but tech is splitting. Google dropped 3.8%, Oracle 3.7%, Adobe 3.4%. Meanwhile, ASML surged 3.8% and AMD gained 1%. The AI trade isn't dead, but it's getting pickier. Commodities are all about geopolitics right now. Brent crude's up 11% this week to $88.22, thanks to Iran's Strait of Hormuz blockade and Houthi attacks on shipping. Safe havens are rallying too. Gold's up 2.1% to $4,475. Silver's up 2.9% to $66.65. The dollar's holding steady. The DXY index is at 99.83, but commodity currencies are struggling. The yen's still weak at 159.16 per dollar, despite Japan's efforts to prop it up. The euro's resisting downward pressure at 1.1539, but the Canadian dollar and Norwegian krone are weakening as oil volatility shakes things up. Now, the big picture. Bonds are the economy's early warning system, and right now, they're flashing red. That 10-year yield at 4.72% isn't just about inflation. It's about the term premium, the extra yield investors demand to hold long-term debt as deficits balloon. The 10-year TIPS yield at 2.45% is the highest since 2007. Financial conditions are tightening, and the Fed isn't even lifting a finger. Oil's surge isn't about supply and demand. It's pure geopolitics. Brent's up 11% this week to $88.22, WTI's at $82.56. Iran's Strait of Hormuz blockade is now in its third week, and it's threatening one-fifth of global oil supply. Markets are pricing in a prolonged disruption, and the costs are adding up fast. Stocks are caught between AI optimism and bond market reality. The S&P 500's down 0.32% over the past week, but the splits are telling. Energy's up 4.1% as oil rises, while tech's down 0.4%. Google, Oracle, and Adobe got hit hard Tuesday, but ASML and AMD gained. The market's rewarding AI infrastructure plays and punishing everything else. Crypto's dealing with its own drama. Bitcoin's up 0.8% in the last 24 hours to $64,100, but it's still down 0.9% on the week. The big story isn't the price, it's security. The cold card exploit drained $100 to $130 million from wallets, and some of those funds ended up in Bitcoin ETFs, which saw $853.5 million in inflows last week, their strongest since April. Around the world, tensions are rising. In the Middle East, the Strait of Hormuz is now the oil market's biggest bottleneck. Iran's blockade is in its third week, and one-fifth of global oil passes through there. The knock-on effects are already showing. Kuwait's LNG imports have surged to levels not seen since the Iran-Iraq war. War risk premiums for oil tankers have tripled, and Asia-US container shipping rates have doubled since February. Europe's energy risks are back. Natural gas storage is above average at 3,117 billion cubic feet, but winter's coming. Germany's industrial gas demand is up 12% year over year. France's nuclear output is still below pre-pandemic levels. And if the Strait of Hormuz stays closed, Qatar's LNG exports to Europe could drop 20 to 30%, just as heating season starts. China's stability is hiding stagnation. The yuan's barely moved at 6.7422 per dollar, but the economy's sputtering. Industrial production grew just 0.5% year over year in July, the slowest since 2020. Retail sales rose 0.3%, half the expected pace. And youth unemployment hit a record 21.3% in June. A few companies are standing out or struggling in this environment. ASML's up 3.8% on AI chip demand. The Dutch semiconductor equipment maker is now up 5.1% this week as investors pile into AI infrastructure plays. Meanwhile, Google, Oracle, and Adobe all fell Tuesday, showing the gap between AI winners and software laggards. ConocoPhillips is riding oil's geopolitical wave. The energy giant's up 6.8% this week and 11.6% this month, as Brent crude hits $88.22 and the Strait of Hormuz closure keeps prices elevated. Its stock's now pricing in $90-plus oil and the dividend growth that comes with it. Honeywell's down 5.3% on industrial slowdown fears. The conglomerates dropped 7.5% this week, its worst stretch since 2020, as weakness in aerospace and automation raises red flags about the broader economy. And Aurora Cannabis is weighing a $272 million takeover bid. The Canadian firm's reviewing an unsolicited all-stock offer from Curaleaf, which would create the world's largest cannabis company. The twist? Aurora shareholders would own 55% of the combined entity. From Washington, the Fed's hawkish tone is splitting policymakers. Cleveland Fed President Beth Hammack warned yesterday that current rates might not be restrictive enough and that multiple hikes could still be needed. Markets reacted fast. The odds of a 25 basis point rate hike in September jumped to 51.7%, up from 30% last week. Today's CPI report at 8:30 a.m. Eastern will shape the debate. If core CPI tops 0.2% month over month, a September hike becomes likely. If it comes in below 0.1%, the doves will have more ammunition. The Treasury's also ramping up borrowing. They'll auction $25 billion in 30-year bonds Thursday, part of a $120 billion borrowing push this week. This isn't routine. It's a structural increase in supply, driven by that 6.3% GDP deficit. Now, let's look under the hood at how the 10-year yield tightens the economy. It's a chain reaction. Commodities affect inflation, inflation affects rates, rates affect bonds, bonds affect credit, credit affects stocks, and stocks affect housing. Here's how it plays out right now. First, the oil supply shock, Brent at $88.22, keeps inflation pressures alive, delaying potential Fed rate cuts. Delayed cuts push real yields higher. The 10-year TIPS yield is now 2.45%. Higher real yields tighten financial conditions, squeezing stock valuations and lifting mortgage rates. The numbers tell the story. The 10-year yield's at 4.72%, up from 4.25% at the start of the year. The 10-year TIPS yields jumped 30 basis points in a month. The S&P 500's equity risk premium is down to 2.8%, the lowest since 2007. And housing's feeling it first. 30-year mortgage rates at 6.69%, median home affordability at 38% of income, and housing starts down 15% from their peak. The takeaway? The S&P's trading at 21.5 times forward earnings, well above its 20-year average of 18.5. Either earnings grow fast enough to justify these prices, or bonds are undervalued. One of these will give. Worth learning today, the yield price seesaw. Bond prices fall when interest rates rise. Here's why. Using today's market as an example. Suppose you buy a 10-year treasury with a 2% coupon. It pays you 2% annually for a decade. Then rates climb, and new 10-year treasuries offer 5%. Who'd buy your 2% bond when they can get 5? Only if you sell it at a steep discount. That's the yield price seesaw. As rates rise, bond prices drop to match current market yields. This relationship is called duration. How much a bond's price changes when rates move. Longer-term bonds, like the 10-year, have higher duration, so their prices swing more when rates shift. Here's how it plays out today. Old bonds lose appeal. Your 2% bond can't compete with new 5% bonds, so its price drops until its yield to maturity matches the market. Duration magnifies the effect. A 30-year bond's price falls more than a 2-year bond's for the same rate hike. And the Fed isn't the only factor. Today's 10-year yield at 4.72% reflects not just Fed policy, but also the term premium, the extra return investors demand for holding long-term debt as deficits grow. Why does this matter? With the 10-year yield at 4.72, 30-year mortgage rates have hit 6.69%, the highest since 2007. For homebuyers, that means higher monthly payments. For investors, bonds now offer competitive yields, but existing holders face losses as rates rise. Here's what's on tap this week. Today, Wednesday, August 12th, USD core CPI month over month at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Forecast, 0.2%. Last month, 0%. USD CPI year over year. Forecast, 3.4%. Last, 3.5%. USD core CPI year over year. Forecast, 2.5%. Last, 2.6%. USD CPI month over month. Forecast, 0.1%. Last, negative 0.4%. Thursday, August 13th. GBP GDP month over month at 2 a.m. Eastern. Forecast, 0%. Last, 0.1%. USD core PPI month over month at 8:30 a.m. Forecast, 0.3%. Last, 0.2%. USD PPI month over month. Forecast, 0.2%. Last, negative 0.3%. Friday, August 14th. USD retail sales month over month at 8:30 a.m. Forecast, 0.4%. Last, 0.2. USD industrial production month over month at 9:15 a.m. Forecast, 0.3%. Last, 0%. That's it for today. See you tomorrow.